Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferrazzi.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Whole Scoop. We are a health and wellness radio show where our guests are always highly credentialed in their fields. And the goal of this program is to present different and sometimes opposite perspectives to listeners to make informed decisions about what might be the right health approach for them. I'm your host, Carol Ferrazzi, a registered licensed dietitian practicing for over 30 years and the founder of Naturally Nutrition. You can find me at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. As you know, it's always important for me to provide you highly qualified guests on a variety of topics, and tonight is no exception. Tonight, we are talking not necessarily about us as humans, we're talking about our companions, our canine companions. So our tonight's show is hip therapy for your hip dog. And of course, I'm going to remind you, like I remind you every other week, that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topics of discussion, it's always recommended to seek the medical attention that you might need prior to implementing any and all interventions. The call-in number is 347-855-8894, and you can also direct questions and comments to our Facebook Blog Talk Radio group page. We're happy to hear you on there. Like us on there. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what you are hearing and whether you like us. Do all that stuff. It's interactive, and we're really looking forward to it. So please do that. Again, the call-in number is 347-855-8894. And if you do have a question, press the number 1 to get in the queue for questions, and I will call out the last 4 digits of your telephone number when we're ready to take your particular question. When you're done, then we will ask you to press 1 again. So let me tell you who's on tonight. We're talking to Hip Dog Canine Hydrotherapy and Fitness in Central Florida. Bev McCart is with us. Hip Dog is Central Florida's first and oldest canine hydrotherapy facility. They've been providing swim therapy to dogs in Metro Orlando since 2001. Hip Dog is dedicated to providing the best possible hydrotherapy care for the best possible outcomes via swimming. They focus on preoperative and postoperative swim therapy for dogs with neurological and orthopedic issues, hip dysplasia. I'm going to ask Bev to explain all of these acronyms, FHO, ACL, BLP, fractures, degenerative joint disease. Also focusing on fitness and conditioning, swim for canine athletes, show dogs and working dogs, gentle therapeutic swim and massage for dogs with arthritis, spinal stenosis, and senior ages. Gentle therapeutic swim and massage for dogs with arthritis. I just said that. Sorry, guys. It's been one of those days. General therapeutic swim. It's just a fabulous place. I can tell you right now that I personally know this place. I've worked with them. They're fabulous. So on that note, I'm going to bring Bev on. And before we get started, we're going to do something a little different than it's a lot different than what we normally do. Bev, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Welcome. Thank you so much. Kind of messed that up a little bit there, but it wasn't intentional because I could go on and on and on about the things that you do there. I'm going to let you talk in a minute here. But before we get started, I want to just take a minute. And I said, if you've been following us on Facebook, you'll know that the Whole Scoop is dedicating tonight's show, and we're going to dedicate the next couple of shows to the victims of the Orlando tragedy that happened a couple of weeks ago now, almost 2 weeks ago. Bev and I are both from Orlando. We have ties in this community, and it's been an exceptionally difficult time. But I have to say, Bev, we were kind of talking a little bit prior to the show. I have to say how proud I am of this city. The city has done a fabulous job in pulling everyone together. Everyone, all walks of life we're just seeing it. I'm seeing it everywhere. I know that you are too. I know that Hip Dog is actively involved in it. you know, I'm in awe sometimes of what I'm seeing on a daily basis on how well the city is coming together. And if you have been following our Facebook pages, you'll see that I've posted the Orlando Dance, and that seems to be a new thing coming up that's kind of going to take over a little bit, where the city of Orlando has decided. Jimmy Fallon kind of threw out the challenge the other day when he was talking about how he felt about what happened in Orlando, and he said, if anybody can handle it, Orlando can, and Orlando keep dancing. And so people started dancing, and little groups are popping up here and there just dancing to Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. So it's pretty phenomenal, don't you think, Beth?
Oh, I do. And I think, you know, people don't realize, I don't believe, that Orlando isn't just theme parks. And we really are a community down here. And, you know, we have our little neighborhoods that we all prefer to hang out in, things like that. But when push comes to shove, we're a community. And we're a growing city with the heart of a small town. And I think we're seeing that a lot since the shooting at Pulse. And I hope it's a spirit that continues to not just grow, but come to epitomize who Orlando really is.
And that's well said. Thank you very much for that. You know, for those of you who know Orlando, you know Orlando through Mickey Mouse maybe, or if you live here, then you know exactly what Bev just said. But even for me, being here for 20-some-odd years, you know, Orlando, I've watched it grow. I've seen, you know, and I have my own little pocket of friends, and I have my own, just like you said, my own community where we kind of stay close together. But when I thought back, when the Pulse tragedy happened, I thought back to all the things that have happened to me here in Orlando, you know, going through the three hurricanes a few years back, and some of the other things that have happened that have just been kind of natural issues, natural disasters, if you will. And it's always been my neighbors who have pulled together to help me. And so the Pulse tragedy didn't surprise me that the community actually came together, because that's what I'm used to here. But what I'm seeing and what I felt probably for the first time in 20 years was that we are a community collectively, and for those of you who don't know, we get 66 million visitors a year in Orlando. And, you know, so even for me being here, that 66 million figure kind of always is in the back of your mind, like that little community thing. It's there, but it's not there. But it is definitely here. And it's something I think is not going to go away. I think it's only going to get stronger. I was actually in a Hallmark store today, and they had some new T-shirts out, and they were really cool T-shirts. And we were just talking, and the girl behind the desk just looked at me, and she said, "I'm so proud of my city." And I just looked at her and said the same thing.
Yes, exactly. And you know, people are showing their community spirit in so many different ways. People are still going down to donate blood. They're still bringing in, you know, food and massages and things like that to our first responders and to everybody who's working with the victims. You know, the community is pulling together to help the survivors and to help their families and to just kind of move through this together. Usually you say, in times of tragedy, oh, this is so sad, things like that. And Orlando's saying, it's very sad. We're also very angry, but we're not going to let it stop us from being a community and taking care of each other.
And, that's right. And you know what? We're going to keep dancing. So, despite what other people want us to do or want us to run and hide, we're not going to. We're here. We're going to dance. We are Orlando, and we are one. And one quick thing before we move on. You want to tell people what Hip Dog has done for this, what part you're playing in this tragedy or on the outskirts of this?
Well, it's a very peripheral part, but we're working with Winter Park Bus Pet and helping them with getting the word out on the dogs and pets of the victims who might need foster homes in some cases even adoption because families can't take care of them, things like that. And, you know, and we're also dropping off food at the various veterinarians that are taking care of these pets, things like that. So, you know, everybody's doing their small part, but every even if it's a small part, it's an important part in keeping us together. So
yeah.
I'm really proud that, you know, HipDog is able to participate and has something that, you know, we can do in whatever small way we can do it in.
Right. Very cool. Thank you for that, Bev. And on that note, look, we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about tonight's show, the hip therapy for your hip dog.
Okay.
So, Bev, tell us about canine hydrotherapy, who you are, how you got to do what you're doing, and, you know, I gave a little bit in terms of how you're the oldest in Central Florida. Just tell us a little more, okay?
Well, hydrotherapy basically is just like for canines, is just like hydrotherapy for humans. It's the use of a water medium to facilitate and encourage healing, whether it's healing of a certain injury or a condition or post-operative care or whatever. It's an ancient methodology for healing. And, you know, it's been used since time immemorial. The first time I actually saw hydrotherapy for animals was when I was working at UF, and I got to see the equine hydrotherapy unit. And that was fascinating to me. I got the canine hydrotherapy came about with Tom Nowicki, who started HipDog, was looking for a way to provide his dog Cosmo with additional exercise after losing his leg, and a way to keep him fit. He was starting to lose energy. He was starting to lose muscle mass after his amputation. And Tom was coming back from filming a movie in California, and somebody had left a doggy magazine in the pocket in front of him on the airplane. And so he read it, and there was a whole article in there on hydrotherapy. And so he thought that might be something Cosmo could use. So he tracked down the person in the article and spent 2 weeks with her learning what hydrotherapy was for dogs and her technique, and then started swimming Cosmo when he got back to Winter Park. The word got out, and people started asking him if he'd be willing to swim their dog and to help their dog. And eventually Tom realized there was a real need here in the city, so he started doing HipDog. And Christina and Tom went on and got certified in canine massage. And then about a year and a half later, after they started HipDog, I came aboard. And it's been a fun journey. It's had its twists and turns.
And you've seen some fabulous results, haven't you?
Yes, we have seen great results. You know, and not every dog we see ends up being fabulous. You know, we've had some heartbreak and we've had some frustration, but that's been to be part of it. And you just sort of have to roll with it and pivot with it and learn from it, you know. But
right. For
the most part, our results, the results we've seen have been tremendous.
So can anybody, I mean, you know, from what I just read to everyone about HipDog, I mean, you cover the gamut on dogs.
If a dog presents to us with a condition or an issue that is not conducive to healing through hydrotherapy, we tell people right away.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't want them, A, to waste their time pursuing a modality that isn't going to work for them. And two, we want the dog to get better and go back to living his life. And so if we can steer them to the right therapy, then that's what we're going to do.
So let's just walk me through a scenario. I'm gonna put out there that I think I've already done that I've used you, and I'll talk about Caleb in a minute, but let's just put out a scenario. Caleb was kind of a special case because of age and whatever, but let's just walk through a kind of a common occurrence, something that happens to dogs a lot that you find results with, that maybe they get better results with you than they do traditionally or through traditional therapy. You know, they can only go so far, and maybe you can take them further or something. You know, can you give us a little bit on that?
Sure. We work with a lot of dogs who have torn CCLs or ACLs, the tendons in their knees, and they've torn them either by jumping up too high, and then the way they land, they twist or something. Sometimes the CCL tendon is just torn after lots of wear and tear, and it just, you know, falls apart kind of thing. So we see a lot of dogs with that injury, and sometimes the people will come to us because they don't want to go through surgery. It's only a partial tear, and the veterinarian has suggested, you know, low impact exercise, which is hard to do when you're walking your dog on pavement or taking them to the dog park or letting them run around in the backyard. And so to help them with that, you know, we get the dogs into the water. Now, depending on what the veterinarian says, we'll determine on how we approach that particular dog in the water. Will we be controlling the legs? You have to make sure they don't overextend. You have to make sure that they don't overflex. You want to try and get them to have the correct gait in the water, so then you can work with them on their gait on land, you know, those kind of things. And some dogs, especially the bigger ones, you know, you really have to work hard to control that leg so it doesn't, you know, swing back at you. And the dogs get frustrated, and then they start to buck in the water. And you just sort of have to hang on and keep them calm and let them know that it's really going to be okay. The thing is that results are instant, you know. Recovering
right.
from blood injuries, it takes a long time, anywhere between 6 to 8 weeks minimum. And for some dogs, depending on their size and the severity of the injury, it can take up to a year for them to fully recover. And that's something that we really have to explain to the parents who want to see their dog happy and walking and running again, you know.
Right.
And
how long are the sessions?
The sessions are 30 minutes. Typically, we start off doing one session per week, mainly to make sure that the dog is comfortable in the water, that when they go home and after a 48-hour observation by the parents, there isn't any excessive limping, there isn't any additional problem going on, there's no swelling, the dog isn't overly fatigued, things like that. Then once we start doing that, then we can, if we need to, we can bump it up to 2 times a week. I don't like to do it for an injured dog much more than twice a week. And then even then, that's for a very short duration, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks at the max. And then we go back down to once a week. You know, I mean, you have to take into consideration what the parents are doing with the dog at home, what the home health care is like. And so, you know, all that has to come into consideration when you start scheduling how many sessions an animal should have for that particular condition.
So it all depends on, and every dog is different, right?
Right.
It depends on the dog. It depends on the issue of with the dog. It depends on the progression of where the dog is and what needs to happen and what kind of home life they you assess all that, right?
Right, and in that case, you know, I consider it to be a very holistic approach because we have to look at it from all different angles, not just from our point of view. And so we have to really, you know, we ask a lot of questions that for some folks might feel like we're being excessively nosy, but, you know, we get to know our clients, and we listen to them when they talk to us and they tell us about what's going on at home, or even in passing conversation, if they mention several times, like, oh, you know, I've got carpool, I've got the kids to go here and kids to go here. We listen to all that, and you think about it from the dog's point of view. Are they getting enough exercise? is there any way that their family schedule can even squeeze in another session in a week?
Wait. I'm gonna cut you short for just a second, and I wanna make that point because that's a real important point that most people don't think about. Let's break that down a little bit. So, you assess the dog for all the physical issues that the person is there for the dog, right? And while they're talking to you about what they think they're telling you about the dog, they're also telling you about them and their life and how it impacts the dog, correct?
Right, exactly.
And then you decipher between that. So let's just give us an example, okay?
Okay. When we start asking people, you know, what here are the time we're open, you know, we start swimming, we're in the water by 8 o'clock, and during the week it's just Peter and I, so, you know, sometimes we're in the water from 8 o'clock until 4 o'clock, and so by that, I look at the schedule and I think, you know, will we have enough energy to go another half hour or another hour, and before I schedule 4 o'clock. So, I find out from people, you know, they tell me their work schedule is crazy, or they have a very strict kind of work situation that they have to adhere to. Or they tell me, like, well, you know, like on Tuesdays I got to take the kids to practice, or I have to, my son has a soccer game on Friday, so I can't come late on Fridays. So all these things come into consideration, you know, whether or not their spouses can help, if they have an older teenager who would be willing to bring the dog, those kind of things. So, you know, we listen to the wholeness of their life and how we can fit what we do into it so their dog can get the care it needs, but without overstressing an already stressed family unit.
Okay.
You know?
And that's the point that I wanted to make because – and I know that you do that because you did it with me. And I'm going to throw a couple of personal issues out there too, because there was a point where I had my dog coming to you and I only had one hand, one functional hand. And my schedule dramatically changed in that I had to go to therapy, I had to go to doctor's appointments, and my doctor was an hour plus away. And you know, and I still needed to get my dog to you, and you did. You worked around that so that Caleb benefited. So I wanted to make that point so that people understand that you really do pay attention to what's going on in both people and pooch, I'll call it, in their lives and what needs to happen to enhance both. And I think that's it's unique because most people would say these are the times that we have available and that's it. So you need to take credit for that, Bev. You really do.
Well, thank you. But I mean, sometimes we do have to say to folks, this is all I have left. And and you know, we're closed on Mondays. And there have been times when I've been like looking at that Monday schedule thinking, well, we could do one dog, you know, but I realize now I'm asking not just myself, but you know, Peter as well, to give up any sort of downtime we might have. But you know, honestly, if we needed to do that for a dog, we would do it for that dog, simply because that's what his dog is all about. You know, we want the dog to get back to having a full life and with a good quality of life. And if that means, you know, we have to pivot, then we pivot and just keep hoping for the best, you know, bedtime.
On that note, I'm just going to do a real quick break here. And then when we come back to things, but what I want to do is I want you to go through maybe one of your toughest scenarios and how long it took and why your therapy might have been better than maybe some alternatives. Like, what are the advantages to hydrotherapy as opposed to, you know, some other things? So give me 1 second and remind everybody that...
You're listening to the Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci.
Now, it took me a long time to get that thing down on timing, so I'm very proud that we're able to do that again. So, anyway, you are listening to the Whole Scoop Radio on Blog Talk Radio with me, Carol Ferraci, a registered licensed dietitian. You can find me at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. And we're talking tonight with Bev McCart with Hip Dog. Canine Hydrotherapy, the name of the show, is Hip Therapy for Your Hip Dog. And, Bev, do you want to give out your website?
Yeah, it's www.hipdog.net.
Hipdog.net. Okay, www.hipdog.net, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So they can make appointments with you online or they can at least check you out online?
Yeah, they can check us out online. There are forms on there that you can send in to schedule an appointment. And and let me tell you this, we do have the first session that we call a sniff and lift. And the whole idea behind the sniff and lift is for the dog and his folks to come in and meet us and see the facility, and the dog literally gets to sniff and lift his leg if that's what he wants to do. We've got a potty yard that seems to, the dogs love to go in there and read everything. Then we have what I call little bulletin boards, which are really just the potted plants around the pool that the dogs just absolutely adore reading. So that gives them a chance to come in and put their scent on the facility. Sometimes we'll get them into the water to see how they react to it. Other times we can't get them out of the water. And it gives everybody a chance in a more casual atmosphere to discuss what's going on with the dog. And then that way when the dog comes back, his scent is there, familiar with us and familiar with what, you know, our hands feel like on them. And they know basically what the routine is going to be for their session. And that's, you know, I always try to do that for the first session, you know, if the dog is capable. But people can come through the website, or they can also either call us or text me, which is actually right now a little bit better than calling me. But,
okay. We'll give out your phone number at the end of the show. Is that okay?
Okay. Oh, that's fine.
All right. I want to remind everybody that if you want to ask a question of Bev tonight, please press the number 1 and get in the queue for questions, and we'll call out the last 4 digits of your telephone number. We have had some issues as it relates to the questions. Sometimes people are pressing 1 and it's not coming through. So if that's happening, let us know on the Facebook page or and tell me that you're pushing 1 and we'll see what we can do. Sometimes people have called back and it's worked. Other times it's not worth it at all, so I'm just going to put it out there. We may or may not, you know. I've talked with the Blog Talk Radio people, and they're not sure. I mean, I've had numerous conversations with them about it, and most of the time it works just fine. But sometimes, you know, you get that one. So the number to call in is 347-855-8894, 347-855-8894. So Bev, tell me something. Not every dog that comes into Hip Dog likes water, right? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, you've got to have some of those dogs that are just like freaking out. And I'll just tell a story. You know, there's always the Duke story. Duke is one of my dogs, and he won't go near it.
He won't.
It just won't happen. So, how do you deal with that? What do you do?
Well, you know, I mean, we do observe the dog around the water, and we ask if their dog has ever had experience in the water, and if they have, do they like it? And so if someone says, well, they've never been in the water, or we tried it and he didn't like it, then, you know, usually I'll pick them up and I'll put them in the water and then let them get right back out. because a lot of times, you know, like Walter, our dog, hates the water. So, you know, I don't make him go in. And and that's something that, you know, dog parents need to understand, that if your dog is showing high anxiety, we're going to let them go. We're not going to make them swim. And sometimes we have worked with dogs with very high anxiety because they absolutely had to swim. But it's always been more, we both end up being anxious in the water, the dog and us. But it's rarely will you get a good outcome if the dog is so anxious that they can't really do the work in the water. So it's not worth their time and money to force that dog to swim. You know, even if it is for therapy. Not a good therapy
right at that point. It's for therapy, and that's when other therapies might suit that dog best. So for the most part, though, most dogs you're able to get in the pool, but then there are going to be some that are just not going to fit that bill, right? They're just not going to make that. Yeah. So
right.
And that's okay. Everybody needs to know that is okay, and I think you make an excellent point where a lot of people think, oh, it's a dog and we'll just put him in the pool and it'll be fine, and it's just not like that. I mean, just like there are people who don't like water, there are dogs that don't like water. I think we need to make that point.
And sometimes there are dogs who are bred to like water who don't like water. You know, we've had several who've come through and absolutely refuse to have anything to do with the pool, but they'll go into every lake, mud puddle, and ocean. It's usually just the pool. So
let's talk about your pool for a minute, because it's different, and the water is different. You have a certain temperature in the water. I mean, let's talk about the therapy itself, and then walk us through one of your case studies, if you will. Okay.
Okay. Well, the pool is a former residential swimming pool that became commercial after the area was zoned commercial. And for years, we just had that pool, and it had stairs going in, which could be treacherous, and a lot of dogs didn't like the stairs. And so after Peter and I bought the business, we tore out the stairs and had a ramp put in, a very wide, probably about 5-foot wide ramp put in, so that it's an easier entry for the dogs, and also so that, you know, that we can do more incline work in the water with them. And it's been quite a boon for us. We've had dogs who hated the water but tagged along with their siblings and ended up loving the water because they could play on the ramp. And nobody bothered them. Nobody forced them to get in the water. They chose to go in and out on their own.
So they kind of got their paws wet and then jumped out. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And then they would, you know, get back in, or they, you know, mom or dad or I would throw a toy onto the ramp and they'd go chase that and run back out with it. So it became something that was fun rather than something to be feared.
Right. So the water itself, though, it's a certain temperature, and there's a reason for that, right? And
Right. We keep it at typically 88 degrees, just because that's a therapeutic temperature for the dogs. It's not too warm, so you won't get excessive dilation, but it's not so cold that you're going to get muscle cramping. Anything much hotter than 90 is going to be over-fatiguing for the dogs, and, of course, you have to take into account the fact that, you know, we're out covered, we're outside, so we also have to take into, you know, consideration a lot of times the ambient air temperature. And so in the winter times, even though the pool gets closed in, we don't let it get much above 90 because we don't want the dogs to get fatigued, you know, overly fatigued. So that's, you know, we're always looking at water temperature. We're always looking at air temperature and trying to find that happy medium, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah. So now walk us through one of your do a case study for us. Tell us about, you know, one that has to come to mind for you that has to be a real, you know, story for you that you're proud of, that was just, you know, one of those things that you love to tell people about? Let's hear it.
Well, oh gosh, there's so many over the years. But probably the one that comes to mind first is a German Shepherd who, at the time we met him, was about 10 years old, and he presented with idiopathic myelopathy. He couldn't walk anymore, and they weren't sure at that time what was going on. He completely lost the use of his back legs. And so the first few times, he either came in under the power of the sling, or on his really, really bad days, then Peter and I would carry him into the water. And, you know, we really did a lot of range of motion work with him. We did a lot of muscle memory work with him in the water. And he liked swimming. He liked chasing the toys. But he didn't much care for doing a lot of the physical exercise work that we were asking him to do. But, you know, we all got through it together. He started to stand a little bit, just for a few seconds, you know, and then his mom started reporting that she would come home from work and he'd be standing in the hallway to greet her. He still had a lot of problems walking, but he was getting stronger and better every time we got to see him. And, you know, we just kept working with him and working with him. And eventually, you know, there was the day that came that he walked through the gate and into the facility, and I cried. I was so proud of him. And luckily, you know, Peter was able to get a picture of him. And he was just, you could see he was very proud of himself. And he was a totally, totally different dog. He was by that time a senior, and about a year later, he died of cancer. But he got to walk again, and that was like the biggest thing for all of us.
Absolutely. You gave him a you improved his quality of life beyond anything imaginable, didn't you?
Well, you know, here's where I hesitate. I mean, I think we contributed to it. And I was determined, and so was Peter, that we were going to get this guy back up on his feet and having a good time again. And his mom was the same way. So we were just, you know, we're all on the same side, and we just wanted him to have at least another chance of walking again. Of course, none of us knew about the cancer at that time, but it was like, but he wanted to do it too. You know, he kept trying. And so, you know, we tried to build exercises for his mom to do at home, to build on that whole concept that he wanted to get up and go. You know, most dogs don't want to just, they want to go see what you're doing. They want to go follow you into the bathroom. Yeah, and they can't do that if they can't. And so they want to go. And so we tried to build on that. And this guy, he wanted to get up and move. And, you know, it was a lot of work, took a lot of months, but, you know, we got to see him walk through and just kind of strut in, actually.
Yeah. We got a couple of blog questions, and I'm going to remind everybody to push one, and if you can't, you know, if you are pushing one and it's not coming through to me because I'm not getting anything at the moment, but just let us know on the Facebook page. We got people watching that, so if you are pushing one, it's not coming through, I'm not getting it. So, that being said, let's look at a blog question, okay? We got a couple of blog questions. Do most dogs enjoy the water, or do some of them, actually, we just did that one. There's another one here that says, is water therapy faster than other therapies? I think you pretty much covered that it's not, or not necessarily. Which is the answer to that?
It really depends on several things. The condition of the dog, kind of injury, is it post-operative, pre-operative, or no operative? And it also depends on whether or not the family situation allows for a fully involved unit to work with the dog at home.
Let's run that one, okay? Let me ask you about that one. You know, can you work with a dog at home? Does that require a pool at home, and should it require a pool at home?
No. There are a couple of walking exercises that folks can do with their dogs, and you know, but they have to be done. You know, you can't just say, "Oh, okay, I did one," and you got to keep doing them. You got to make sure they're done every day. And that's why I tell folks, you know, incorporate this into your walking with your dog. Make a game out of it. And I tell people, you know, you're going to get bored with this long before the dog does, but you both have to stick to it. And so, you know, those are, you know, will people have the time to do that? Do they have the kind of terrain that will be conducive for that kind of an exercise? Things like that. And, you know, so it really depends on how hands-on everybody is, and whether or not these are exercises that can be easily done at home rather than forced to do at home, you know.
Right. Well, let's talk about that forced to do at home kind of thing. I mean, do you have people that feel like they're forced to work with their animals at home?
I think sometimes it's just one more chore, and I totally get that. When you have, you know, two parents who are working, you've got kids coming and going to all different kinds of activities. A lot of our clients also have extended families that they're caring for. So, you know, now you're asking them to do one more thing in their day.
Right.
And so I try to make it as uncomplicated as possible and as easy to merge into their routine as possible. They don't have to go out and get special equipment. You know, we ask, you know, do you have ladders around? Do you have this? And we try to find easy ways for them to get the exercises done that need to be done, but without, you know, having to spend a lot of money or even spend that much time focusing just on those particulars rather than time, you know, playing with their dog. That's why
right.
we try to incorporate it into your playtime, you know.
Here's a question for you on the blog. Are you ready? This is different.
Sure.
This is a great question. Does hydrotherapy improve or enhance the immune system?
I think it enhances the immune system in as much as any exercise that program that you do on a regular basis enhances your immune system. I'm not comfortable saying right off the bat, yes, it enhances your immune system, but, you know, I'm sure there have been studies done to show, you know, especially in kinesiology, that exercise, overall daily exercise, does enhance your immune system. So why wouldn't hydrotherapy?
Okay. When you were, and I don't know, we didn't give your dog a name that you were working with. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry, guys. We kind of like our. There's kind of like a delay here, and there shouldn't be because we're kind of in the same area. But anyway, when you were working with this particular dog and you saw him progressing,
yes.
Were you able to see it? I mean, when he was coming in weekly, or did it just kind of hit you that, like, one day he just walked in, or did you see the progression? Because sometimes when you're close to a situation, I know when you're working with dogs in the water, you're assessing them as they're moving, right? And as you're assessing, what are the kinds of things that you're looking for, and are you seeing a change or feeling a change when they come in? Are you able to see that they are progressing? So that my point is this: if somebody's bringing in their dog and they're told from the get-go that it might take a while, and not to expect overnight results, which is reasonable, more than reasonable, then how will they know? I mean, they might see a little bit of a change, but I know for myself even that when you're with an animal or a person on a daily basis, you tend to not see things as clearly as maybe somebody who doesn't see that person or that animal all the time. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. Yes. You know, combination of both. We do see the progression. And also the parents will tell us, oh, well, they, you know, the dog stood up or the dog sat down or whatever it is, that the behavior that they see, they'll tell us about it. And then basically what we do is we take that and overlay it over everything we've been seeing and what we know about the condition in general, you know, and to see if it matches the parameters for progression. You know, I mean, I might see a dog walking and think, oh, he looks great, he's walking. But, you know, in the whole view, though, it might be he's walking, but that his proprioception is off or his gait is starting to go lateral or caudal. So you just kind of want to, you need to take all that information and then, you know, overlay it inside the parameters that say this is what to look for when you're looking for progression at this stage of recovery and try to hope everything aligns, you know.
Okay, because...
Yeah?
No, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, you were on a flow there and I just sort of cut you short and I apologize. I was just going to say that because if I'm an owner and I'm taking my dog and I'm not seeing things, you know, you're the expert and I know that, you know, you always kept me informed because I would always want to know, well, is he doing any better? What do you think, you know? And you were gauging that quite well, and I want people to understand that this isn't just take your dog to the pool. This is a whole lot more than that, and you've got trained professionals there that are actually assessing the dog as he or she is in the water and they're functioning. Right, Beth?
Right. And, you know, I don't like to have just one therapist in the pool with the dogs. My preference has always been two, for several reasons. One, for each other's safety, number one. You know, if you have a dog who spooks or suddenly turns on you in the water, you've got, you know, protection with each other. And trust me, that has happened. Not lately, thank God, but, you know, in the early days, we've had dogs bite and all, but so I've always liked to have two people in the water. And then I also, because you also have another set of hands and another set of eyes, as well as another set of ears. And so, you know, we're constantly watching, we're constantly listening to what the dog sounds like. You know, a lot of times when we bring them back to the ledge to rest, you know, we're listening to their respiratory rates and we're listening to their cardiac and we want to make sure that, you know, they aren't having problems with breathing, that they're not having problems, you know, that they aren't having cardio issues, things like that. So, you know, we can be talking with you at the same time that we're doing these assessments, you know, and sometimes I don't talk and people think I'm ignoring them, but it's not, I'm listening to something usually.
And I think that's real important for people to understand that this is truly a therapy, and it is something that actually is tried and true. And that being said, are there other therapies out there that enhance the hydrotherapy? I mean, are you familiar with things like when you get a particular case in that might be a little more complex, do you say, hey, could benefit maybe from this or that? And I'll just give an example where Caleb was my dog, when Caleb was seeing you, he was also getting acupuncture and he was getting some other alternative therapies. And I think the combination of that is what kept Caleb going. And that's the other point that I want to make, and I'm going to make that point in a minute as soon as you answer that question.
Well, yeah, we're always, you know, we'll suggest especially with hind end issues and any sort of joint issue, will suggest that they might want to consider acupuncture or chiropractic work with their dog. A lot of times with arthritic patients, you know, we'll find out if their vet has mentioned cold laser therapy. And if not, then we suggest that they might want to talk to their vet about it, find out if the vet does it even. So we do try to suggest different therapies that either can work in addition to hydrotherapy or work better for the dogs than hydrotherapy, you know, depending on what's going on. But, yeah, you know, the other therapies are very important. And, you know, I think part of our job at HipDog is to show folks how all these different things work together and why it's important to their dog in that particular situation to consider these other therapies. And, you know, I've been surprised over the years at how many people we went from not knowing about acupuncture and chiropractic to now it's like some folks, as soon as we meet them, the first thing they want to know is if their dog should get acupuncture and chiropractic as well. And I
wow.
love the fact that that's starting to become more and more accepted in mainstream veterinary medicine. I love it. I think it's awesome.
That's great. I'm really glad to hear it. Because I'll tell you, it has definitely made a difference with my animals. It's just, I could be here all night talking about the alternative therapies and how I firmly believe that they've kept my animals going. On that note, Bev, is there a cutoff to the age of a dog that can benefit from hydrotherapy?
No, not really. You know, like, it really depends on their overall physical condition rather than their age. And the oldest one, of course, that we ever worked with was Caleb. But we've also worked with dogs who are like 18, 17, you know, things like that. And, you know, they've all done really well in the water. They, in fact, we're working with a blind 17-year-old now who...
Wow.
You see him, he gets perkier and perkier, and he swims for 15 minutes. I mean, I have to stop him, and we'll rest, and I'll massage him, and then he's like, okay, got to go swim, and off he goes again. You know, so that's why he only swims 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
The youngest is a kitten. I think she was about 16 weeks old.
Wait, say that again?
The youngest client we've ever had was a kitten.
An actual kitten. So it's not just canine sometimes. It's mainly
right.
Canine.
It's mainly canines, but we've also worked with cats and kittens and rabbits. In fact, Tom was one of the first hydrotherapists in the country to develop with the House Rabbit Society, develop a hydrotherapy protocol for rabbits.
Okay, so why would a rabbit need hydrotherapy? For the same reasons?
Well, if a rabbit can't help, they can't digest their food.
Well, good point. Okay, there you go. So if you do hydrotherapy and you help the rabbit hop, then they can digest their food and sustain life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Got it. Cool. I like that. I didn't, you know, I didn't put that together. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. You know, HipDog's always full of surprises. Absolutely. Again, press the number one if you have a question. We've got a bunch of callers tonight, and either nobody's pressing one because we're doing such a fabulous job, or they can't get through. So why don't you give out your phone number so people can get in touch with you? If you're not in the area and you don't know what is available in your area? What are they searching for, Bev? Are they going for canine hydrotherapy? Is that what they're looking for, or what are they doing? And how do they find a good therapist?
They can go. Folks can go to the AWCT website, and that's the Association for Canine Water Therapists here in the United States. And they have
right.
a directory.
Let's do that again. Say that one more time slowly, okay?
Okay. ACWT. The Association
ACWT.
Yes, ACWT.
Okay, got it.
That's the Association of Canine Water Therapists, and that's here in the United States. And they have a directory with all 50 states who have therapists, and or they can go to, like, the Canine Institute of Rehabilitation, and they have also a directory. And
okay.
There you'll find folks who have a therapy pool, but mostly underwater treadmill. But it's, you know, both directories, you know, basically that way you can cover the entire country.
Okay. So there are different types of hydrotherapy. Is that it?
Yeah, there are different kinds of hydrotherapy. Most often you're going to see either the underwater treadmill or, and I think there are a couple in the area, and or a place like ours, which has a therapy pool.
Okay. Great. So you want to give out your phone number?
Yep. The phone number is 407-760-1484.
Okay. 1484. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that Bev, what you did for Caleb, and I'm just going to let everybody know, since Caleb was the oldest, Caleb passed in January, and he passed at age 21. And you got him when he was, what, 19 going on 20?
Uh-huh.
I think that's when you got him. And you had him for over a year, and you kept him, he didn't walk at the end of his life. He didn't walk at the last few months of his life, but prior to that, you kept him up. You kept him walking. I mean, there was a marked difference every time Caleb would swim. So, you know, that to me as a pet parent, that was everything, because when a dog can't walk, it's just heartbreaking. And so, you know, all types of issues there with different dogs and what they have and what's going on and as you see them, but even the older ones. So I guess I'm saying this because just because a dog is older doesn't mean that you shouldn't consider this, because even
right.
at the end of their lives, you can improve the quality of their life and or at least maintain the quality of their life. And it's very heartwarming to be able to do that.
And Carol, here's the thing too, is that with our senior dogs, if they don't want to swim that day, we're not going to make them swim. We're going to pamper them. They want to just float and take all that weight off their body, and that's what we're going to let them do. Because at that stage of their life, it's like being with your grandparent and saying, no, you have to do this 40-mile walk. No, you want to pamper them. You want them to do what their body, you listen to their body and what their body is telling them to do. And if that day it says, you know what, let's don't move so much, then okay, respect mm-hmm. that. And we just make sure they get really well massaged and stretched. And sometimes we try to tickle their feet so that they'll do some movement. But a lot of times the older kids, they're like, no, let's just float. And that's fine.
Wow. Yeah, well, and I know that there were times when I brought Caleb over and he didn't feel like it at all, so you guys just massaged him. And they and Hip Dog here, they have a really nice heated room after the swim. So they go into this really nice little heated room. It's kind of like where I would like to stay, you know, sometimes. Even though we're in Florida and it sounds ridiculous to have a heated room, it's really very cool when sometimes the air gets a little chilly when you're in the pool. And so for older dogs, that heated room is fabulous. And Caleb would just stay in there. Of course, Duke did too. Duke had no reason to be in there except he just wanted to be. Caleb would, you guys would massage him, and he would be in a nice heated room, and he would just be very, very comfortable, and then I'd take him home, and then he'd sleep for the day. So that was the extent of what he would get for the day, which was really pretty great. It was just pretty great. So thank you for that, Bev.
Oh, you're quite welcome. We loved him.
Yeah, he was a great kid. And on that note, it's time for us to say goodnight. And but I want to say thank you to Bev. Fabulous show, great information. Really appreciate your time and all the input that you gave us tonight. And we'd like to be able to bring you back and maybe elaborate a little bit more, maybe do a couple of case studies so people can really understand how beneficial this really is. And I'm going to let everybody know that next we're back in 2 weeks from tonight on the 20th. Actually, where are we? We're on the 23rd, so we're going to be on the 14th of July. And we have Dr. Garrett Wopes coming on. He is a doctor of podiatry medicine in South Dakota. And he's going to talk to us about how our feet are actually portals to our entire bodies. And so we're going to have a pretty interesting show on what we can learn from the feet, which is kind of different. We didn't really expect to be talking about the feet, but maybe the next show we'll do another show on reflexology. But after that, we've got a show on essential oils. Doreen Peterson is coming on, and she's out of the West Coast, and she has a school of alternative therapies where she has actually developed PhD programs on essential oils. So she's going to be a fabulous guest. So our next two shows coming up are going to be pretty interesting. So please join us again. Bev, thank you so much. Talk about when you're coming back, okay? We're going to end the note the way we started with Orlando Strong. And we're gonna keep dancing here in Orlando, and we're going to see you next time. So thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.